The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Johnson line to the left. Stafford takes the snap. Looks left. Fires inside. Ball's caught by Johnson. He gets in the end zone. He fumbles in the end zone. The ball comes out of the back of the end zone. Did he break the plane with the ball? The official says it's a touchback. He said the ball came out and went out the back of the end zone. A touchback. I know it'll be challenged.
As the runner fumbled the ball prior to the goal line, it went out of the end zone. It is a touchback. Seattle's ball, first down at the 20.
Holy smoke. You know it's going to be looked at.
Cam Chancellor with the big hit.
Who else would it be but Cam? And yeah, that ball came out before he broke the plane.
What can you do? You know what I mean? We're not going to cry about it, that's for sure. So we just got to tee it up and go at it again.
So it's baseball day and local music day. And let's talk about the Seahawks Lions day. So let's just enjoy it. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the master, if you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, R-E-A-L, at Jongy Football, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's Tuesday when most of you are in a bad mood, but you shouldn't be today because we actually have sports tonight. And I would just say if you can't watch the game, and even if you can, you probably should listen to it because it's going to be right here on the station as soon as the show's over. There you go.
Thank you.
That's simple. I'm going to plug that several times today.
You mentioned Twitter. I've got to say, Fred, I decided last night I'm making a solid commitment to myself. I'm just going to block trolls from now on.
Yeah.
If you only tweet me to try to like poke or prod or piss me off,
yeah,
or you just want to call and tell me what an a-hole I am.
Oh, damn, that's not going to be any fun. That takes away all my all the tweets.
I started thinking about it. Like I spend too much time engaging people who apparently hate me, so I'm just going to make it easy on them, and then they will hate me, and I won't have to see it on Twitter.
Well, there
and
you go.
They'll never have to see my stuff on Twitter.
I just ignore it the first time, and then the second time somebody does something, I mute them. And that's
I just don't
it.
Pay attention. I'm just blocking. I'm not a muter. I'm a blocker.
Well, you have more followers than me, so I don't want to chase off the few that I have.
But do you want your followers list to be a bunch of...
Well, they can troll all they want, and I don't see it. That's the best part of it. That's why it works. Yeah. And, you know, that way I have them. I have the bots.
No, I block them too.
I've got all of those guys, so it's all good. And makes me look better that I could say I have over 9,000 followers. But if I blocked them all, I'd be down to 8.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be down to 8.
I just want to be down to the followers who actually want to follow me and not want to.
That's why I don't want to do that, because...
Bleep talk me.
Well, because you would probably have 10,000 of those. I'd probably have 4.
Yeah.
So that's just a difference of... just a different philosophy, that's all.
Okay.
But I've gotten to I've gotten to where people, when they do stuff like, I just ignore them.
I've gotten that way too, but I do like to engage sometimes. But I started thinking I spend too much time going back and forth with these people who, for whatever reason, do not care for me.
I don't think it's that. I think there's just a segment of people that like to get under your skin.
Maybe so.
And it's funny you bring that up, because always on Tuesdays people are trying to do that, especially via the text line, because I don't know why they're always in a bad mood on Tuesday. So that's their catharsis. They try to take it out on us and try to make us feel bad. Doesn't work. Gives us something to make fun of. But yeah, I mean that's all it is.
No.
My favorites are the ones who say you guys whine about people and they're whining about us. Those are my favorites. But I don't really see those anymore because I muted both of those guys.
The Longhorn 12, who, if you look at his timeline,
yeah,
he's got 31 tweets, 9 followers. Well, and every tweet he makes is talking smack to one of us. He's the first casualty of my new rule.
Hmm.
Bye. Well,
when did he talk smack to me? Because I didn't see it.
Well, you can click on his timeline. It's there.
Okay. I'm not going to.
It talks about you crying about made-up trolls and things like that.
Oh, well, I didn't see it because guess what?
You probably got him muted.
He's muted. Well, yeah. Yeah.
I'll never see it again. Guess why?
Because you blocked him.
Because I blocked him.
Well, I won't see it either. So it works out great. So he can tweet to his 9 followers all he wants, and nobody's going to care. And, you know, now, if he's listening, he'll probably unfollow me because, you know, the whole point
of
that.
Because that's all he wants to do is he wants to follow you around and talk smack to you.
But he can do that all he wants, but I'll never see it. That's the best part of it. So maybe he feels good about himself.
I feel good about myself having blocked him.
Well, I feel good about myself having muted him.
Nolan says, LOL, I'm probably blocked. Maybe today, Nolan. Maybe today's your lucky day. Maybe today.
Nolan said something?
Yeah.
I haven't muted you yet, Nolan.
I don't know why I haven't.
I don't either. I've thought about it, but nah.
He's never got anything good to say either.
No, but at least sometimes he's funny. Sometimes.
No. No, I don't know. Maybe he is. I don't know. He's never funny to me. He just talks smack to me, just like these other guys.
Well, see, I like having some of that because sometimes it's just fun to make fun of them. Because the beauty of it is we have a microphone, so we can just bang on them and talk about them having sex with rabbits and stuff like that or whatever the hell we want, and all they got is Twitter, and we can block them. It's great. It's beautiful.
It's like boxing with one-armed, one-legged kids. It's just,
sometimes a win is a win, man.
Yeah, it's nice to punch somebody in the face a couple times, sure. But then do you really feel good about yourself afterwards? Not really.
No, but...
Like, oh, I'm wittier and smarter than a Twitter troll. Let me puff my chest out about it. I mean, what are you going to do?
You know what? Here's a good rule from DJ Hollygrove. It says, never argue with someone on Twitter with less than 1,000 followers.
That's probably a good rule of thumb. But I don't believe in, like, you know, that how many Twitter followers makes you, you know, more worthy of having debate with. But
no, because some people are only on Twitter just so they can.
But if that's all you're on there for is to talk smack, yeah. I mean, and you've got 8 followers and you're tweeting out about what a douchebag I am, I'll remove you from my life, and then you can tell those 8 guys how you feel without me having to know about it.
You see, you let these guys bother you. I look at it as
no,
more,
that's my point, Fred. I'm not going to let them bother me.
Well, and if that's the way to do it, that's awesome. But my thing is, I think we're helping lives.
Okay.
Because people who are so miserable that that's what they have to do, that are that pathetic, that makes them happy. So let's make them happy. This way works for everybody. They can tweet me. I never see it. So I never respond. And yet they feel like they've got over on me because they tweeted something about me. So yeah. Great. I'm all for
Maybe
it.
Maybe I don't know how to mute somebody. Oh, I guess I can do that.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
Yeah, but I just like the feeling of blocking someone. So that way when they try to click on my page, and that's the worst is when guys don't follow you. But they're still constantly, you know, commenting on stuff that you say. So, you know, they're like going to check your page. And or if someone's blocked you and continues to mention you in tweets, oh, I got no tolerance for that. So that's the other thing. If you mention me and when I click to reply, I can't because you've blocked me, you're a coward. And I got to block you back just so I never have to see that.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm with you on that.
That TX Kane's guy, the guy that was a Keenumite. Yeah, he's blocked now because he would talk smack, but he blocked me, so I couldn't reply. I'm starting to figure out this Twitter thing. I'm getting there.
First world problems, man.
I'm getting there.
Yeah, you're making that HBO money. You got a big time job. You can't let those things bother you. It comes with the territory. It's part of the job.
I just think I've turned into that guy that I now just have a low tolerance for it.
Yeah. Well, that's so do I. That's why I just tend to ignore it.
Yeah.
There were a couple people that tweeted things over the weekend that just, you know, I'm like, whatever. I'm drinking beer and having fun. I'm not going to interrupt that to respond to you. Well, I mean, why would I? I mean, that's, yeah. And I try to respond to people that have legitimate questions, and I'll do that most of the time. But sometimes on weekends, I don't respond to anybody because I'm trying to unplug from it. But if you're trolling me on weekends, you can forget it. There's no chance in hell I'm even looking at it. And if you do it more than once, then I'll just mute you. So, see, Ed says, I only use Twitter to talk to you guys about gambling and beer. I have no other use for it. See, I think there's a lot of people like that.
I'm okay with that.
But Ed also tweets good stuff. So, Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. Boy, we didn't even get to talk about that crappy football game.
AJ says, I enjoy our banter back and forth. It makes the day fun. I don't mind banter, and I don't even mind like disagreement.
Oh no, but actually, I like good disagreement.
Like if it's just a personal attack, like, or if it's just plain like you suck, get out of here. I mean, what kind of conversation can I have with that?
No, I like the,
because then it just turns into trading insults, and that's what I'm trying to do on the inside, Fred. I'm trying to grow as a person.
Really?
So instead of just trading insults with someone, but for instance, I'm sitting at the UFC fights the other night, and somebody is bashing guys on another station, and the guy says, thank God for ESPN 97.5. I don't have to listen to you bums anymore. And the other person, it's Sean Pendergast, tweets me and says, hey, AJ, I found one of your people. And he says, no, I hope AJ gets, he's the worst thing on that station. They need to get rid of him. And then he goes on to challenge me to a fight. Because I said, cool.
Wait, why would he want to get rid of you when you're the only guy in the damn city that knows anything about MMA?
I don't think he
he's at the fight. Yeah. But you know what? I think we made real progress here today, AJ.
Thanks, man. I'm feeling better.
Good.
Feeling better. I'm getting there. My life is going to be so much easier. One of these days, I'm gonna get rid of all the stresses in my life. Until weed is legal here, this is the way I've got to do it.
Well, either that or just break the law.
I'm not a criminal, Fred, because I don't need that.
I'm a criminal. I admit it. I also drive 75 and a 55. That also makes me a criminal.
I do too, but I always drive a little bit slower than the fastest driver.
Yeah, I always do that too. always let that one guy by me, and then I just kind of trail him for a bit.
I'm going 75 and someone's trying to like ride up on my ass, yeah, I'll gladly slide over the right lane and let him go.
You go 90. It's fine. Yep. I'm good with that. But you know what? Life's too good to worry about this stuff, man. Get the best job in the world. Get to work with Zhong Li. You know? You get to drink great beer.
Yeah.
So, and most of the people that are trolling you are just miserable. That's like the Tuesday texters. They're just miserable. They have no lives. So let them enjoy themselves. That's their moment. I think it's important.
Thank
for
you
your for growth it. As a human being.
Thank you.
How about a growth of your business? That's pretty good, huh?
No. Well done.
If you're a business owner and you really want to grow your business, one way to do it, go see my friends at SiteJab. If you've tried looking your business up on the internet and you can't find it, guess what? That's what your customers are probably doing. They're having an even more difficult time trying to find you. And especially if you're just getting started, getting frustrated on how to generate leads, if you call SiteJab, these guys will get you found online. They'll look at your website to evaluate ways to increase conversions and even help you develop a marketing plan to get your phones to ring. And they have helped a lot of businesses right here in Houston. Hector Garcia, who runs SiteJab, based right here in Houston. And don't worry, he'll help guys over in Beaumont and the Golden Triangle area too. Because if your business is not taking off the way you want, I guarantee you Hector can help you. Because he's helped a lot of businesses grow their leads from 30 to as much as 75% in just a few months. You want to get those phones ringing, this is the way to do it. You get a free consultation with Hector and SiteJab. Just give him a call, 713-999-4661. You can look him up on SiteJab.com. And they've got all kinds of success stories from businesses that were struggling that are now thriving thanks to going to SiteJab. Call SiteJab.com, schedule a free consultation, and if you sign up for their services, they're even going to throw in a free mobile website, which is a $400 value, but you have to call now. Tell them I sent you. You want to grow your business, Hector will help you do it. 713-999-4661, or you can go to SiteJab.com, but give them a call. Tell them that you heard it on ESPN, 713-999-4661, 713-999-4661.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Happy Tuesday. Hope you're having a great one. And if you're not, so what? It's going to get better. We actually have sports tonight. Little Astros action. Talk about that, obviously. You want to get on that football game, or you want to grab some calls? We got a full board.
We can take a couple calls.
Okay.
We got football to talk. We've got Astros to talk. That'll probably be like the two themes of the show, but
I would think so.
Maybe some of these guys will want to talk about that stuff. Who knows, Fred? Let's just let it go where
maybe,
it goes.
Maybe they'll want to troll us, too.
Maybe so. Yeah, I'm sure at least right. one of these guys will.
We'll try Brian first. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, Brian.
Hey, just had a question. Saw Hinch's lineup card today. I noticed Fires is coming out of the pen. Obviously, he's there for a long reef, you know, in case Dallas struggles out the gate. But is there a chance that we could really see him as the first guy out of the pen, given the recent struggles? Or does that mean he's kind of the odd man out for the entire postseason?
No.
Love the show. I'll hang up and listen.
I think Fires is there because he's the rested guy, and he's not. I think he's less there in a long relief role. He's more there as like an emergency if it's a 17-inning game role.
Yeah, or Keuchel pulls a muscle in the second inning or something.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't expect to see him because ideally, if the Astros are going to win, you're going to need 7 innings out of Keuchel, which is basically what he's going to give you. And then you go Harris and Gregerson, and you hope that's good enough.
Yeah.
And if Fires winds up pitching, then it's either the best possible scenario is what you mentioned, a 17-inning game. If he winds up out there, I don't think you're using him in short relief or even to get one guy because that's not something that he's really done all year. So, but yeah, I think that's why for those reasons basically. And ideally, it's pretty simple: 7 out of Keuchel, 1 out of Harris, 1 out of Gregerson. I don't ever want to see Neshek out there. If Chad Qualls is out there, the game's over. Those are your bad scenarios. If you see a Chad Qualls at any point or Fires at any point, it's probably a disaster for the Astros. But I don't anticipate that. I think Keuchel will pitch well. I think the big question is obviously 3 days rest. It's not something he's done before. And if he's as effective as he's been all season, especially against the Yankees, they're going to be in there with a fighting chance. If he goes out there and you never know how it's going to affect the guy. And that's the one thing that I would worry about as an Astro fan is if you guys – if he's the 3 days rest, man, it almost never works in the playoffs.
No.
And that would be the biggest concern. But that's exactly what I would do if I were A.J. Hinch. I'd say, you know what? I have one game. Here's my best pitcher. Here's my guy that was there all year. Here's a guy who's had success against the Yankees. Here we go. We'll roll the dice. And that's why they play the game.
Yep.
It'll be fun to watch. All right, let's try Zach the Canadian.
Hey, what's up, guys? Sports.
Sports to you.
Hey, a long-time listener here. I got my brother that lives in Calgary listening to y'all. I got a question. I tried that Hellfire beer, and it was kind of too strong for me. I like Shiner and Molson, but I'd like to try these local beers around here. What do you suggest I should try? I'll hang up and listen.
Try, like, St. Arnold Santo or something like that.
Yeah, the Carbach Love Street is a lot. That one's pretty good. 1836 from Buffalo Bayou. That's another good one. Those aren't quite as strong. Yeah, the Bourbon Barrel Hellfighter stuff, that is, I mean, most of those are, what, 12, 13% ABV. They're pretty tough, and I think we're kind of, I won't say immune, but we drink a lot of those kind of beers. So it is an acquired taste. But, yeah, I think St. Arnold has their Oktoberfest that's out right now is really good. You might want to try that. So that would be my suggestions. Weekend Warrior's pretty good, too. It's not a bad one. And if you like IPAs, the Rodeo Clown, I mean, there's all kinds of options out there for you.
Yeah.
So just apologize for steering you wrong on bourbon-aged beer, but that's just my favorite.
It's man stuff, Fred. What Canadian says that this beer's too strong for me?
That's a good question.
Isn't that a little off, right?
They're used to volume drinking.
Yeah, but like, Canadian beer? I remember
it is pretty strong compared to American beer.
Yeah,
but it's not the same as a craft brew that's 12% ABV. That's catching you a little bit off guard, I'm guessing, because they do drink in volume. I've seen it. I respect it. And when I was up there this summer, my wife's nephew. We were trying some of the beer from that brewery up there, and it was, I think, 11%. He wasn't used to that. And you could tell it affected him because he's used to drinking a six-pack at a time.
Right.
And I think that's kind of standard for Canadians, six-pack at a time. Let's try David. What's up, David?
Hey, sports to you guys.
Sports to you.
Hey, so I kind of wanted to talk about the conversations that have been going on with all the flags in the league, and how many there have been and how it's slowing down the game and all of that. And I've got some quick statistics right here. So far, there have been 960 flags thrown in the first 4 weeks, 517 on offense, 408 on defense. 350 of those have been on holding and false starts. So 36% of these penalties have been coming on just pretty much the offensive line alone. Now, I know that the big argument is that the rules have changed and it's a passing league now. If you do all of the numbers for holding, pass interference, illegal contact, roughing the passer, that's 180 out of the 960. It's 18%. So I'm not sure if this whole new changing the rules, new league thing is really the problem. And my honest opinion, I don't think it's the ref's fault for throwing too many flags. I think it's the player's fault. They're basically going out there and trying to get away with everything they can get away with and leaving it up to the refs to decide the outcome of the game. So as a football fan, if you want to see less flags thrown, I don't think the gripe should really be with the refs. It should be with the players and the way that they're kind of conducting themselves, their sportsmanship, so to speak. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, that's the worst. That's the I mean, when you get the flags on, you know, we saw one last night, a guy jumped into the pile. Yeah. Riley Reiff jumped onto a guy who was down, who he didn't even knock down. And an offensive lineman just dives on top of a down defender. There's just dumb stuff like that. So, I mean, I agree. It's difficult to watch all these games with the flags like that. But, I mean, it's not like there's a bunch of, you know, there's not, when you watch the games and you watch what flags are being thrown, it's not like they're bad calls necessarily. It's just,
I think a lot of it may be, I think it'll even out as the season goes on, partially because a lot of these false starts and things like that. I think it comes from not playing guys as much in the preseason.
Yeah.
You have to work your way into game shape. You have to work your way into knowing when not to commit penalties, and that's just part of the deal. And I hate watching it, but, man, speaking of which, though, for all the flags, they missed one last night at the end of the game.
Yeah.
And you don't see that very often where a guy intentionally bats the ball out of bounds. And obviously the referees didn't see it either. But, yeah, if you're a Lions fan, that kind of sucks.
But you know what? First of all,
let me finish my thought. Okay. Let's give some credit to the guy for knocking the ball out. That was a pretty damn good play in a key situation.
What's funny is he could have pushed it out with his body, and it wouldn't have been a penalty.
Yeah, but you can also get your hands on a guy, and it's not holding. I mean, you know, he broke the rules.
Yeah, I mean, and he did. He did, no doubt, and it should have been a penalty.
Yeah.
But that's also a really stupid rule.
Well, there's a lot of stupid rules in football.
Because if all he would have had to do is clap his hands together in front of the ball and push it out and make it look like he made an effort to grab the ball, and it wouldn't be called. So it's very much a judgment call of, like, does it look like it's intentional or not? Which also means it can't be reviewed. So should it have been called? Yeah. But at the end of the day, that ref can just say, it looked like he was making a play for the ball.
And, but that's not what happened, though.
No, it's not what happened. But if the ref says it, if that's what he saw, you can't argue it. It's just like if a ref says there's pass interference, as it stands now, you can't argue that.
No, and although you should be able to.
That's a different story.
You should be able to review pass interference. I've been saying that now for 2 years. But that's not what happened. I mean,
yeah.
It was pretty clearly a penalty that wasn't called. But I also, let's not lose sight of the fact that the guy made a hell of a play on the goal line.
Yeah,
to knock the ball out. That's kind of gotten lost. That was a huge play, and it was fortunate that somebody being an idiot didn't cost him that. Truth is, I'm not writing off the Seahawks yet, but they're not playing very good football right now. And
well, listen, Russell Wilson's not playing very good football.
Well, offensively, they're completely out of sync,
and that's what happens when
I don't know
Marshawn Lynch isn't sitting around.
I think that's part of it. I think part of it is they don't know what the hell they're doing with Jimmy Graham, and Wilson's not playing well either.
But that's a game that really could have been out of hand for the Seahawks if Russell Wilson didn't fumble the ball away a couple times.
Yeah, but
he did.
He did.
And don't get me wrong, there was some plays that he made that it's like, wow, that's a really impressive play. But there was a couple times he was out there looking like Johnny Football, getting the ball knocked down on the ground, and one of the times they took it back to the house. So you can't have stuff like that if you're going to be a great team. And I don't know if the Seahawks are a great team.
They aren't right now, but there's a long way to go. I mean, how often do we see teams kind of struggle a little bit early? And the Patriots were 2-2 last year, and everybody was writing them off after the Chiefs game. We'll take some more phone calls when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN.
97.5.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Five-star writer says... the moment that occurred, neither Tirico nor Gruden were yelling, hey, that's a penalty. This is ESPN creating a story. Wait a minute. How is ESPN creating the story when the NFL's the ones that came out and said it should have been a penalty? Mm. And, yeah, a lot of people didn't know the rules. Pete Carroll didn't know it. Said he didn't know that was a penalty. I don't ever recall seeing that. So I didn't think about it at the time. I didn't even give it two thoughts until – I saw the NFL come out and say, oh, that should have been a penalty. It's like, oh, yeah, okay, I have seen that before, but maybe once, and I'm old. 713-780-ESPN.
Well, and also, it's an easy thing. I mean, if it wouldn't have been the Seahawks or the Patriots, probably wouldn't have been news.
Well, Monday Night Football, too.
Yeah. Of course, it's instantly compared to the Fail Mary play.
Yeah, well, that's... But it's a silly rule, just like the Dez Bryant non-catch is a silly rule. Yeah, but that got a lot of attention, too. Let's try Philip. I'm sorry, Travis. What's up, Travis? Let's try Travis.
Esports, what's up, guys?
Sports to you.
Esports, yeah. I signed up on DraftKings. I got to thank you guys. Put $7.50 in there. Came up with $100 over the weekend.
Good for you.
Bet on esports. I don't know how much you guys will appreciate that, but it just added the world championship of... the world finals for League of Legends, so you can make fun of that booger eating mess. So,
yeah, I don't even
anyway, just want to let you guys know they have that and appreciate you guys getting me hooked on that.
All right, good job. That other guy who won like what $350,000, DraftKings guy playing on FanDuel.
Yeah, yeah, that was interesting. Let's try Jones. What's up, Jones?
Sports, fellas.
Sports to you.
Yeah, I know it's not Wednesday, but what are the odds? What are the odds that I'm a Vikings fan and a USC fan? What are the odds that both of those teams make it to the playoffs? Thank you.
Oh. That both of them make it? I'll go about less than 1%.
Yeah, for both. I do like the Vikings. And what is the other one? USC?
USC, yeah.
Oof. Well,
yeah, USC's that's an uphill climb at this point.
And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, that the whole Pac-12 kind of, you know, cannibalizing itself. I'm not sure USC's going to get through without another loss. And I don't know if two losses get you out of there. Unless you win the conference.
Yeah.
It might. It just depends on what else happens. I mean, I have no clue what's going to happen with this season right now. It's completely wide open at this point,
listen,
which is cool.
For USC... they lost a home game to Stanford, who's probably about the fifth best team they'll see on their schedule, maybe the sixth best team they'll see on their schedule this year. And they got blown – well, they didn't get blown out, but they did. They were not competitive in that game. I don't think they're good enough to run the table.
I don't either, but
– they play Washington this week. Then their next three games are at Notre Dame, home to Utah, at Cal.
Before you get out of that 2-1, you've accomplished something.
Yeah, but if you get out of that 2-1, you're also not going to the playoff.
No. Well, I think two losses, win the conference, have some other guys lose around the country. I think a two-loss Pac-12 champion, considering how good the conference is, it depends on what else happens. And one of those wins would probably have to be over Notre Dame because you might have a two-loss Notre Dame running around out there. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with Clemson, Florida State. And it's just, there's too many other variables. I have to pretty much agree with your odds there. All right, let's do one more. Matt. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
We hear you. Sports.
Sports? Hey, I'm a U of H grad, and my wife is an Ole Miss Rebel. So we've been kind of having our eye on Memphis this past football season. And I've got the chance to see him a couple Thursdays. And man, that quarterback looks really good. He's like 6'7", 245. I want to know what y'all think about the Ole Miss-Memphis game coming up and U of H playing them later down the road.
I think that's if Ole Miss had not lost to Florida, I'd be a lot more worried about the Memphis game. Yeah. I think they're going to come out pretty much. Memphis is a good football team.
But that's a home game for Memphis, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but...
Yeah, but that's...
especially at this point in the season. For Ole Miss to be going to Memphis right after the Alabama game, that's an unusual spot.
It is. And as far as when UH plays, it just depends on how healthy both teams are at that stage of the season. I mean, if something happens to Greg Ward, then I think Memphis would probably beat him pretty badly, but... there's a long way to go for that one, but I like Ole Miss in that game. I am really impressed with what Memphis has done though, and they've got some good wins. I mean, that win at Bowling Green was a good win, and going in there and housing Cincinnati, that was a good win.
I saw the other day that Paxton Lynch hasn't turned the ball over yet this year.
Yeah, that'll happen at some point. It'll probably happen Saturday if I had to predict.
But they also, Cincinnati's probably the best team they've played so far. I think Memphis is good, and they're probably better than I thought they were. But
yeah, this will be a test, and
yeah,
I think
it'll be more than a test.
Yeah, I think Ole Miss is going to beat them. 713-780-ESPN 713-780-3776 is your number. You know what? See, here's a lesson for you. Like all the people really just trying to troll us. Through the text line today, and just scroll on to the next one until we find a useful one.
Yeah, but I can't. I think it's probably because of my OCD. I try to respond to most of what I get on Twitter. It's hard for me during the show because then otherwise I just sit here and respond to tweets all day. But just like, you know, those bots that favorite things, that doesn't really affect me, but it just pisses me off after a while because my brain processes and it's like, this is just a bunch of clutter that I don't need to see. So I feel the need to go in and block them and report them for spam. So it's all a giant pain in my, I really hate social media. I wish I didn't need to have it.
Yeah. Unfortunately it's part of the job and we have to use it. Yeah, and it does a lot of good.
It's just like people. I hate people yet I need them around for all kinds of reasons.
You really need people?
I mean, a lady downstairs made my sandwich at Subway today. Without her, what was I going to do?
Make your own lunch?
Bro.
He has HBO money. He doesn't need it to do that.
Does Arkansas have a chance to play spoiler at Bama this weekend? I don't think so. It's funny. Before the season, I would have said I think that'd be a tough game for Alabama. Might be a little bit of a letdown for Bama after Georgia, but... Arkansas just hasn't shown me enough. I mean, yeah, they played really well against A&M, but I don't know how many efforts like that they have in them this year. I guess I'd be surprised.
I would be too.
See, somebody says with the sex robots, we don't need people.
That's true. Although, can the sex robots make a sandwich?
I think they could be trained for that. Okay. See, that's...
Well, that's a more interesting thing then.
Yeah, if I were to buy one, it would have to do all kinds of stuff. Clean, cook, go shopping, drive me around when I've had too much to drink.
And that.
Yeah. Well, of course. It is a sex robot. That should be right. The first and, foremost thing for it to do.
Number one function.
All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Some more of your calls when we come back. We've got lots of sports to get to. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Cowboys Patriots NFL 3:30 p.m. Sunday, presented by All American Berryman Products on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on the Blitz. Play the Bud Light Fantasy Thursday game and win $100. It's absolutely free to play. We're having happy hour at the New Christians tailgate in downtown from 5 until 7 on Thursday. The top point scorer wins $100 and will be invited to play in the finals for a chance to win $2,000. The only way you can enter is to get the link at Christians Tailgate from Raheel and the ESPN 97.5 road crew, courtesy of ESPN 97.5 and Bud Light.
Go out there, buy Raheel a drink.
Well, he'll just give it back to you. I will go on record as saying... that's cool if that's your, make that decision, that's fine. I'm just stunned that there's so many people in this business that don't drink.
It really, it's crazy.
Because it's kind of part of the gig, at least for us it is anyway. I thought it was. Oh, well. 713-780-ESPN. Let's try Danny. What's up, Danny?
Hey, sports and money to you guys.
Sports to
hey,
you.
Listen, I want to call out all these Romo haters out there. All these so-called Dallas fans who have hated Romo for the last six-plus years that says that, oh, this guy is just an accident waiting to happen. Hey, listen, take a look at your offense right now. This is what it was like for 6 years prior to Romo. This is what it's going to look like after Romo, unless the Cowboys get lucky to draft another quarterback or get one. But, hey, guys, enjoy them now. We'll have them for another 3 or 4 years and hopefully win something. That's all I got to say. Thanks, guys.
All right.
I think we've kind of been saying that.
Yeah, I think people. For a while. I think people have gotten past the Romo hate. I think that, you know, everybody expects whoever the quarterback of the Cowboys is to be Troy Aikman, and that's just not really reasonable.
Well, there was, and to his credit, there was that long, long stretch there of Quincy Carter, and people like that. Yeah, basically they were the Texans.
Chad Hutchinson.
Was it Drew Henson?
Drew Henson
was thrown out there for a while.
Yeah.
But anyway, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Jason Garrett, right?
I think he was a backup during the Aikman era.
Was he?
I don't think he ever actually started. I could be wrong about that.
Who else was in the time between Aikman and Romo?
Now I got to look that up.
They had Ryan Leaf at one point.
Ryan Leaf?
They had Drew Bledsoe for one year, maybe two. He was good.
Clint Sterner, someone mentioned.
Okay, that's a good one.
There's another one.
Randall Cunningham at one point.
Vinny, apparently.
Testaverde.
John Kitna.
John Kitna.
He was a backup, though.
He came after Romo.
Yeah, because all they had to do was rally around John Kitna.
Yeah.
So here's a list. Quincy Carter came right after Troy Aikman, and then you had Chad Hutchinson, Quincy Carter. I guess they were splitting. And then Vinny Testaverde and Drew Henson. Drew Bledsoe, and then you had Romo.
Okay.
Romo in 2006. Romo started 10 games. Bledsoe started 6.
All right.
Drew Henson was a Texans pick. I think didn't they take him in the supplemental draft?
Yes, and they traded him to the Cowboys.
And they traded him to the Cowboys for like a third-round pick, which they then went ahead and blew.
God.
Did Dallas Keuchel really shave his beard?
That's what
John came in here.
Yeah,
and said
John
that.
Did say that.
No,
I haven't seen
yeah, SportsCenter was showing the bullpen of the Astros and then the bullpen of the Yankees, and Keuchel was in the bullpen warming up with a, like, it's a more clean cut beard,
like
it's
a shape.
Oh, okay. Yeah, shape.
More like my beard.
Yeah,
you don't mess with that.
A little lighter than yours.
Yeah. You don't want to mess with that.
God, the Texans had Drew Henson and trade him. That's like, he'd be the starting quarterback if they still had his rights today, right?
Probably.
Man.
Lions fan said, had a Texans fan tell me today, when I think we suck, you guys are always there to suck worse. He says, I hate being a Lions fan. I would trade the Texans roster for the Lions roster right now. You put the Lions in the AFC South, and it's a totally different animal.
Yeah.
I know I know that was a tough loss last night, but I still think, well, I don't know, man. You get to this point, the season can spiral out of control on you pretty quickly. Anthony Wright. Did you mention Anthony Wright?
Anthony Wright was a backup early in that time. I forgot about him. Mm. Daniel says, how long before Les Miles changes QBs? That quarterback's terrible, but I don't think they're going to make a change unless they lose a game or something. I mean, he's done almost nothing, but when you've got Leonard Fournette, does it really matter?
No. All you got to do is turn around and hand it off. Or do that ridiculous little pitch play that they do. Do you see anybody else run that play? Where they pitch the ball to the running back from a foot away. I can't recall seeing anybody else do that.
I saw somebody do that in the NFL this week.
Mm. Well, if you're going to copy something, that's not the thing to copy.
Yeah, the LSU Tigers have 3 times more rushing attempts than they do passing attempts.
And LSU never has a quarterback anyway. Oh. They do a wonderful job at almost every other position. They get NFL talent in almost every other position, but when it comes to quarterback, never happens. 713-780-ESPN. Let's grab one more. Richard, you're on the Blitz. Go.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you.
I just wanted to talk to y'all about the Broncos' running offense. I know they're 4-0 now, so it's hard to complain about that. But every team has something they need to work on. And I think, in my opinion, that the running offense is the worst part of their team right now. I just want to know if you guys think it's the personnel they have at the running back position, if it's the reliance on Peyton Manning, or if it's just the offensive line not blocking well enough. I'll leave it to y'all.
Well, the first thing that jumps out at me is Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson. I mean, these are not guys that, you know, if they played for a team that besides the Broncos, they would be scrubs. But that's the thing about Kubiak is he's always turned. I mean, he can run with anybody. Like Fred Fowler, if you signed up as a running back and got put on Gary Kubiak's team, you'd be able to pick up some yards.
I'd average 4 yards a carry.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with him this year. Ronnie Hillman looks actually pretty decent. Even if you take away that big run that he had, the 72-yard touchdown, he'd still be averaging more yards per carry than Anderson. I think that you're going to start seeing a lot more Ronnie Hillman out there. But I'm surprised that they're not able to run the ball because I do think there's some sort and like you said, they're 4-0, so it's hard to really, you know, split too many hairs and complain. But I do think there's some fundamental differences between what Peyton Manning likes to do and what Gary Kubiak likes to do, which is why I think at some point this year things are going to fall apart.
I tend to agree, but as long as Manning can be effective, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And just another friendly reminder that coming on the station tonight, Astros and Yankees. So make sure you listen, unless you're going to go watch the game somewhere. And if you're up north, you know where you should go.
Hey,
watch
now.
It. Tupelo's. We're going to go play that golf tournament Monday, too. So if you're looking for a place to watch a game tonight, you're up near Rayford Road, you're anywhere in the vicinity, get your butt to Tupelo's because you will have a blast. That is a terrific place. Chip and his team are fantastic. They're going to make sure you have a good time. And if you can't make it out there tonight, how about Thursday night? Go see you can go watch the Texans. You can go watch UH. You might even be able to be watching game one of the Astros and Royals. They've got so many TVs. They'll have them all there. You'll see all of it no matter where you're sitting. It's just a great setup. It's a terrific sports bar. Fantastic food. It's not your average sports bar menu. There's not a thing on the menu that isn't awesome. So go out there, watch those Astros tonight. Watch the Texans on Thursday. Make it your home away from home. And Monday, you know where you need to be. Tupelo's is having its first annual charity golf tournament. If you haven't signed up yet, you need to get signed up. We're going to be out there playing. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's at the Woodlands Palmer Course, benefiting Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Easter Seals, among other great things, runs the Caroline School that was damaged in the flooding back in May. ESPN 97.5 is proud to be a sponsor. All you have to do, check out 975golf.com for the details and to register or otherwise support the cause. And they still need some hole sponsors, so if you want to do that, get in touch with them, 975golf.com. You can also go to tubelows.com. Great place. You know we love it. We're out there all the time. Kind of place you can really make your home away from home. 2907 Rayford Road in Spring. That's Tupelo's, tubelows.com.
ESPN. 97.5.